Welcome to Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie, joined by Darren, and we bring you the news, reviews and recommendations of the latest theatre.
We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, and the next hot ticks. Happy New Year, Natalie.
Happy New Year, Darren. Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Lots of sparkles going on behind you there.
Oh, fantastic. I like to spread a little joy as we go into 2024. I can't believe it. We're here, 2024. How did that happen?
I know, right? 2023 went very, very fast, I think.
We did so much. We saw so much, Darren. It was incredible. We were really, really lucky. I think we've had an amazing time on the podcast.
We have 41 podcasts in 2023.
Seriously?
Yeah. How amazing is that?
Wow. That is incredible. That's incredible.
I know.
I love that.
I know. Me too.
That's a lot of theatre.
It's a lot of theatre. A lot of shows.
And dance and pantomime and comedy and burlesque and everything.
And everything in between.
Indeed. 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 Oh my goodness. So this is our first podcast of 2024. So we've got the last few things that we saw at the end of last year to chat about, and then maybe a little roundup at the end, Darren, of our favourite things that we saw this year. Last year. Got to say last year now.
Last year, I know. It's so fresh in our minds. I mean, it's New Year's Day. It's a kind of nice sunny day, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is. But sadly, I'm going to have to start with a bit of a blooper.
Oh, a blooper.
Yeah, I wasn't overly thrilled. I managed to see one of the final performances of Lyonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wasn't impressed. I think I was going with the main critical kind of ambience, as it were, of the lesser star ratings. I know we don't do star ratings, but, you know, if it was going to do a star, it would probably be a two maximum, I think. And that'd only be because of the performances. I mean, it was amazing seeing Kristen Scott Thomas and Lily James on stage together. I mean, just their presence was wonderful enough. And even the rest of the cast, it's a very small cast, only a cast of five, were great. So acting-wise, you know, I couldn't fault it. It was the script, hon. It was the play. It should have been a one-hour radio play.
Some amazing cast, but material not strong
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, basically, the writer Penelope Skinner, it's her first West End show. It was directed by the former artistic director of the Royal Court, Ian Rickson. So, in effect, they had the calibre of creative to make it something really wonderful, but it just wasn't. I just didn't care enough about the characters, what they're going through, the story and things like that. It's just, no. I mean, like I said, I was thrilled to see Kristen and Lily on stage. Sarah Powell, who played Chris, was in another dud play of ours, actually. It's one of the nicest plays of 2023. You know the one about the bird at sea?
Oh, our favourite one of the year that will, yeah, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. The one, yeah, the seagull.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Nick Wardley and James Corrigan, who was in Jack Absent Plies Again, Cameron Quinton was brilliant. You know, so casting-wise, it was really good.
Ooh.
It was just the play itself was not for me. And like I said, a lot of the critics felt the same. So, yeah, I just don't understand. It was produced by Sonia Friedman, and usually her decisions and, you know, the choices she makes are spot on and brilliant. But this was, no, I don't understand. Did they not read the script? It's almost like as if the agents didn't read the script and they just signed up to it.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. It was just a bit bizarre. And it's sadly because Lily James hasn't been on stage for a while. I don't know when Kristen will be back again. So, you know, we'll see. But they're terrific actors. So on the whole, performance-wise, they did the best they could with what they had.
Mm. When's it on till?
Oh, it's finished. It's closed. It's done.
Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, it's only a 10-week kind of limited season anyway from mid-October to the end of the year. It's done. It's long. It felt long. You know when you're in the theatre and you're seeing a show that you're not really enjoying, it just dragged on and on. I mean, if I had a watch, I'd be looking at my watch every 10 minutes, I think.
Oh, well.
I am really, above all, though, I am glad I got to see it. I am glad I got to see that those actors on stage doing what they're great at. I'm just sad that the play itself did not do anyone any justice.
Disappointing.
Absolutely.
No, didn't give them great material to work with. That's a shame.
No, but there you go.
That's
there
a shame. You go. But hey ho. Right, well, moving from that on to a fabulous production that I highly, highly recommend. Darren, you would absolutely love this. So this was Edward Scissorhands, and this was at Sadler's Wells, and this was dance. And oh my God, a big, big thank you to Georgette Purdy at Sadler's Wells for my tickets. They were my Christmas present. So thank you so much to her. Really appreciated this. And I do like to get to see a Matthew Bourne at Sadler's Wells at Christmas time. For me, you know, forget all those pantomimes that you love, Darren, and that the world loves, but I don't. I have to get to see a piece of dance, ballet, or an opera at Christmas, and then I am super, super happy. So this was brilliant. It was based on the original motion picture, which was directed by Tim Burton back in 1990. Can you believe it was that long ago?
1990? What, the film?
Yeah, the film. Edward Scissorhands. That's incredible.
Yeah, because it feels
like more recent.
No, it feels more dated. You know, you've got some amazing actors in that film. Obviously, Winona Ryder and... Who's the... names of the same. Pirates of the Caribbean
Johnny Depp,
fame.
Darling.
Sorry, who?
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, Johnny that's Depp. The one. That's the one.
Johnny who? He's Johnny barely who? Aged. But yeah, so this show, it was devised, directed and choreographed by Matthew Bourne. He's incredibly talented. And this was part of, you know, his company, New Adventures. So I think, was it last Christmas or maybe the Christmas before I saw The Red Shoes? I took mum to see that. And I did you see that, The Red Shoes?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I missed it.
Oh, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful magic on stage. His productions always are so aesthetically pleasing. And what we've talked about recently, where we've seen productions where just everything comes together, that synthesis of set, costume, special effects, lighting, the performers, the stage crew, everything coming together to just produce onstage magic. Now, this production, it started on the 5th of December. It carries on until the 20th of January. So you need to get a ticket. You need to get a ticket. And then it goes on tour to 18 different venues nationwide. So that's brilliant. And then it goes off to Amsterdam in May. And I mean, it was just beautiful. The costume, Darren, was incredible because they've got all these different families in the town. And just the way in which they brought together the family. Because if you think about it, when you've got a dance or a ballet company, everyone's young. Pretty much everyone is quite young, and then they're playing very young or very old within that. So the costume and the wigs and the makeup has got to be incredibly precise in order to make what is essentially a young company span all the different ages of the characters within the production. And the costume of Edward Scissorhands himself was beautiful. The way it was boned on him, it was a bit like, you know, one of those... anatomy textbooks that you read as a child, and then it strips back the flesh and you can see how all the muscles work. It was kind of boned like that to show the workings of his body. And then he had these beautiful I don't know what we call them, scissor gloves, which must have been quite, they must have had to make it quite light, because that's quite, you know, quite a lot to deal with in a whole dance performance. But it was just beautiful. And you know, Matthew Bourne, what have you seen that's Matthew Bourne? You've seen loads of, you've seen Swan Lake and Nutcracker, etc.
Yeah, no, I've seen loads of it. I've actually seen Edward Scissorhands. I saw it in Paris.
Oh, have you seen it? When did you see it?
Oh, God, it was in Paris about 15 years ago.
Oh, did you?
I think.
Yeah, 2008 or something.
Yeah, is that what it was? Okay.
I think so, and I was reading the programme.
It was at the Théâtre de Chalet in Paris. And it was because
you saw it in Paris.
I saw it in Paris. Darling. It's only because I was dating
ballet in Paris. Oh, how decadent!
I was dating one of the dancers, so I went and saw him, and obviously saw the show.
What part was he playing?
Oh, I don't remember. I think one of the ensemble pieces. Yeah, it's a while ago.
Oh,
a while ago now. So, but yeah.
Oh, so you loved the production then? Clearly,
I did. I did. I mean, it's a beautiful. I mean, like anything that Matthew Bourne does, is going to be a beautiful aesthetic. And you know, the staging, obviously the choreography and the dancers, but also the calibre of the performers themselves. You know, they're top class. They really are. you don't get a dud show if you see something from Matthew Bourne. Anything from Swan Lake right through, as I said, the Nutcracker.
No.
Obviously, Red Shoes, this, Carmen.
Boo.
You know.
Was gorgeous.
Lots of really wonderful stuff. It'd be good to see what he does next. I mean, you know, he obviously worked on Mary Poppins. There's other stuff he's done. Old Friends. Yes.
My Fair Lady. Yeah. And Old Friends recently. We loved that, didn't we? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got an OBE and a knighthood. The man's a genius. And, I mean, the performer, dancer, who played Edward Scissorhands, we've got two names down there because I think they rotate. I'm not entirely sure, but it was Liam Mower and Stephen Murray. Whoever I saw was phenomenal. I bought the souvenir programme, a bit like when I went to see Old Friends. I was like, oh, I need this. I need this in my life on my shelf. But I loved it. And it's the kind of production that anyone can go and see. It's suitable for families. There were every age range, you know, every demographic was sat there. There was children, there were sort of elderly people. It's just a lovely feel good, although it has quite a sad ending, really sad ending. But still, you come out and you feel that you've watched something beautiful. And unlike Lioness that you discussed at the beginning, you said, you know, you would check if you'd had a watch on, you would have been checking it. With this, you're kind of like, oh, it's the interval. I don't want to get up. I want to watch the next bit. And then it's finished. And you're like, oh, I could sit here for another hour and watch another hour. But obviously, the dancers are tired now. We must all go home. But yeah, it's the kind of show that you could watch again and again. And I love the fact that, you know, you said that you saw this ages ago. And I love the fact that he can revisit and bring back these brilliant shows and that you would want to go and see it again. It's a bit like Disney. It's a bit like a Disney film in a way. Like if they brought out Lady and the Tramp, we'd all rush to go and see it because it's been so long since we saw it. But yeah, absolutely loved it. Would go again. Highly recommended. And the fact that it's touring to 18 venues nationwide, there's plenty of opportunities for our listeners to go and see it. So this is a big, big recommendation. And without repeating myself, at the end of the show, when we round up our favourite things, this is on my list of favourite things. Definitely.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, maybe I'll catch it this time around, but nothing will replace Paris.
I just did that thing again, and the sparkles went, didn't they? Because we're recording remotely. It's quite cool.
The sparkles did go. The sparkles came back. It does look good behind you, actually. Nice bit of spectacular firework display behind Natalie. I know. Oh, bless.
So Cold War, Darren, talk to me about this. Where was it?
Cold War. Now, you just said that Edward Scissorhands is going to be in one of your highlights of the year. Cold War definitely is one of my highlights of the year. I absolutely loved it. I really did. It's Cold War is at the Almeida Theatre, directed by Rupert Gould, and it is based on the film that was released in it's a Polish film that got nominated for an Academy Award, and it basically depicts a period of time at the end of the Second World War in Poland. Now, what they've done is a musical. They've collaborated with Elvis Costello and Conor McPherson. And Conor McPherson, you may know from Girl from the North Country and The Weir.
Oh, yes.
They've adapted Cold War as a doomed love story brilliantly told, said the Evening Standard. And it really was brilliantly told. I mean, I could go and sit again and again and again. It's like what you said about Edward Scissorhands. You just wanted to stay there and carry on. I mean, the chemistry between the leads, Anya Chowlotra and Luke Thallon, were perfect. Really good. And Anya, you may know, I don't know if you watch it, but I love the show The Witcher on Netflix. I've actually, because of seeing Cold War, I've gone back to re-watch all of The Witcher season. So I'm actually just at the beginning of season two again, because I just love watching her on stage and watching her on screen. She's, I can't wait to see what she does next. Really, really can't wait. The ensemble cast were utterly brilliant. It's a quite a large cast, actually. It does really feel the stage at the Almeida, which is really, really lovely. The music, as I said, from Elvis Costello and the book by Conor McPherson, really, really good. A lot of traditional Polish songs as well, which is quite nice. So they kind of kept that relevance from the movie. The cast, Elliot Levy, who was in Cabaret, you may know. He's brilliant. His comedy is great. Did you see The Ruling Class?
No.
some years ago. Oh, okay, he was in that as well. He's, you know, brilliant in that. But like I said, a wonderful ensemble cast. I couldn't fault it at all. You know, the staging, just pointing out some of the cast members that I liked. I really thought that Ryan Gosinski was really good on his comedy. Ali Goldsmith, again, quite funny. Jordan Metcalf, again. And Anastasia Martin, Katrina Novarik. You know, there's some really good choreographed, like, historical dance numbers, you know, like would have been done in those days. But like I said, it's quite a nice history lesson as well, because they kept a lot of relevance from what was happening in Poland during the Second World War. So a lot of the traditional songs and stuff as well, which I never would have heard before or probably wouldn't ever hear again. The creative team, again, wonderfully choreographed by Ellen Kane. The set design was really simplistic, but it was really effective. And that was John Bowser. Some really good lighting and sound design as well. I don't know, it was a really good piece. And I am a big fan of Rupert Gould. I mean, I think this one, again, is another knockout success for him. Looking forward to seeing, what he does next and what he does post the Maida Theatre, because obviously there's lots of stuff he does outside of the Maida. Again, this is like a co-production with Sonia Friedman, so maybe this is going to go out and do something. I think it's quite a niche piece of theatre. I think it does incredibly well at somewhere like the Maida. I think in the West End, it depends on the space. I think it could do it easily a 10-12 week run at the Howell Pinto or something, especially if it kept the same cast with Anya and Luke and obviously Elliot and double cast. But I just really... It's a brilliant play, a wonderful musical, but it's more of a play with music as opposed to a traditional musical. But it was just the storytelling. Everything about it was really lovely. And like I said, the chemistry between the leads was spot on. Like, I really believed their love affair. I really believed the sacrifices they made with their lives for the sake of the other person. I believed it was really truthful. And luckily, I was second row from the front, literally right in spitting distance of the main cast. And
of course.
I was so thrilled. And it was a matinee, of course, for me. But it makes much of a difference because, you know, the evening and stuff, whatever, for this one. But yeah, I couldn't fault it at all, really. There's nothing I could say. It was a full house. I think it's pretty much sold out. It's running on for a little while longer now, actually. Cold War finishes on the 27th of January. So for any of our listeners that really fancy some great theatre, then I really recommend trying to nab those last final tickets for the show. Maybe get some West End transfer. You know, you never know these things. I mean, you know, the calibre of the performers and stuff could definitely make it worthwhile. So we'll see. But if it does transfer, then that's definitely one for you to go and see. And I will certainly be going to see it again. So, yeah.
Okay, defo.
Yeah, I think so. So that's definitely a plus from me. Yes.
Okay. Good.
I know.
Looking forward to that then. And then you went to see The House of Bernarda Alba, which I had seen, and I think you went to see on my recommendation on the last episode.
I did, very much so. So I did see it on your recommendation. I thought, okay, I went online, found a ticket, nabbed it, front row, one of those £20 front row tickets.
And how was that view-wise?
Well, the Lyttelton, the first three rows, they're narrower seats, aren't they? So they always put those narrow seats. But for me, narrow seats is fine. They just have no armrests.
Leg room.
Oh, God, front row dial. So leg room was, you know, skipping my legs. You know, it wasn't a Ryanair flight. It was like BA first class. But anyway.
Oh, wow.
The view was great, obviously, because on the main floor as well of the house. But then obviously, when it got to the top floor, you had to kind of look up. But luckily, the action didn't really happen up there anyway. And if it did, it happened forwards. So you got to see. You didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
But what I got, which I don't think you had, was because I was so close to everything that was going on the ground floor. You know, Harriet Walter was literally feet away from me. You know, so you could see everything that's going on in the eyes, which I really love about being that close to actors.
Or did you get a bit of spit?
I don't know. I really got spat on. Wasn't that kind of show, Dale? But that play to me is almost like a celebrating an actor's masterclass in performance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone on that stage.
I think that's what I said last episode. Yes,
possibly, yeah. Possibly did. But everyone on that stage was fantastic. There was obviously Harriet Walter, seeing her live was great. But, you know, everyone, I mean, Lizzie Annis, I really enjoyed watching. Isis Haynesworth, who I believe you didn't see.
How was she?
Oh, she was great.
No, because when I was looking forward to seeing her, because I saw her in The Bridges, A Midsummer Night's Dream, but I saw her understudy Imogen Mackie Walker.
Okay.
But how was Isis Haynesworth? Was she great?
Oh, she was great. She was really, really good. I mean, a lot of energy. I mean, obviously, she plays the youngest sister, and she's the one who, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but something happens. Anyway, I don't want to spoil it for people, but it happens.
Sexual chemistry.
And absolutely. And it's interesting as well, because what you said about there's two male actors in the whole thing of a very established female cast. And you're right, from what you said before, they are secondary. They're not important. What's important is the relationship between the mother with the influence of the grandmother and the daughters and their relationships together. And how one man...
The irony is that even though the men make very little, they're very little contact with them, the impact is like a ripple effect. It tears them apart. It's incredible. That presence, but not present.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going to say without the interruption. But no, you're right there. It's like there's no presence of men, but the impact they have on the women is incredible. And obviously, to a detriment at the end, it's a very sad ending, you know, what happens to one of the daughters. Well, actually, to all the daughters and the mother, because, you know, a mother loses a child, that's going to be impactful. A sister loses a sibling, it's going to be impactful. But I have to give a massive shout out to Eileen Nicholas, who played the grandmother, Maria. So good. So good. The whole kind of dementia storyline, the whole thing about when she comes into it near the end and she kind of almost tells the thoughts of what's going on, like what you must do. That the dead lamb thing was a bit strange, but, you know.
Peculiar, but it's that kind of having her in that room, sleeping under her bed and the lamb and all this. It's almost like a foreboding. You look at the young children, the young girls, and you kind of think, if they mourn in the house for 8 years and don't leave that house, they will eventually become like her unless we break this cycle. It's very clever. It's very cleverly written about the impact of men and women in this society at that time. You know, very little distraction, very little to occupy their mind other than these men out in this outside world, and then putting these men on this pedestal, this unrealistic pedestal. It's incredible. Reminds me of being at a girls' school, actually, and the impact that someone having a boyfriend and then fights within that. It's incredible. Really interesting. Yeah, I think this new interpretation of a very, very old play, the Alice Birch version, it does bring new light to a play which could be quite stark and stale. It does update it and bring it to a contemporary audience, and it's running until the 6th of Jan, so not much time left for people to grab a ticket. But I've got a feeling this one will end up in a West End run later on in 2024, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, for a limited run, possibly could work 10-12 weeks, absolutely. But moving away from the play as it is now to how it was back in the day when it was written in the 1930s, it was written by a wonderful playwright called Federico Garcia Lorca, and he's got a very interesting life. He was a part of a movement which was a symbolism, futurism and surrealism arts movement that kind of like transitioned into Spanish literature. So, you know, he's if you like, inspired by people like Salvador Dali, who was one of his friends. So they were all part of that kind of Spanish Civil War movement of very talented and very vocal artists, to the point, to his detriment, actually, because he ended up getting assassinated. And there's still no actual explanation as to why he was assassinated, whether it was a dispute with someone or whether it's because he was a socialist or even because he was gay. Obviously, because back then it was quite illegal to be a homosexual. But his other plays, you saw Yerma, didn't you?
I studied Yerma in depth back in the day. But yeah, I've seen several productions of Yerma over time.
Yeah, so that's one of his plays he wrote in 1934. And the House of Bernard de Alba was 1936, shortly before he actually died. But Blood Wedding is another important play that he, one of his best known plays that he wrote in 1932. So he was, if he had, obviously he probably wouldn't be still alive now, but if he had lived longer than he had, then who knows what other exceptional works would have come through. But it's interesting that you got these new works from old works coming up from people like Alice Birch, who's told her version of this text from the 1930s and how it's still very relevant in today's society. I'd be interested to see what happens with another version of Yerma, or maybe a Blood Wedding of his plays, or even other playwrights that were very established in post-First World War and pre-Second World War, and how their stories can still relate to society today. And I think the importance of seeing a play like The House of Bernard Alba is this whole thing about how patriarchy is still very relevant in society now, and especially within a household of, what, 7 or 8 women. Is still the one man who we rarely saw on stage impacted so much on their lives and will continue to impact on their lives. And that's pretty much how society still runs today. So yeah, I think Alice Birch has done a terrific job on that. It's the only play, I think, of Rebecca Frecknell that I've actually really enjoyed. So that's something. So yeah, so I think the end of 2023, theatre-wise, has been quite a nice mix, but in a positive mix as well. And especially from the National Theatre.
Yeah, it really has. And what did you think of that set? That set was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, you got a different angle to me.
I got a very different angle. Obviously, front row, lots of things looking up. Luckily for the ground floor, 80% of the action was happening there. What's interesting as well, I talked to a friend of mine who's a critic after this show. His point of view was there was too much going on the stage. Now, for me, I quite like that because the main action happened on the ground floor, and anything that's happening on the different floors in the different, say, bedrooms was very kind of almost a choreographed movement piece. It's like looking into someone's home all at the same time with all the individual things happening in their rooms. And like I said, most of the action was on the ground floor, so you didn't really have to pay too much attention other than a quick glance at the other bedrooms, especially what was happening in the grandmother's room. That was probably the most interesting of the bedrooms. And then the stuff to do with when they were trying to find the photograph and stuff like that, you know, they're searching through the bedrooms. That was quite interesting as well, because you're looking at all the sisters on the ground floor's reactions to what's going on in their rooms without them seeing what's going on in their rooms themselves. That kind of makes any sense, because they know that one of them has got a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that was really clever.
Yeah, I agree with you and not your critic friend. Yeah, absolutely. I think it was so important because it was subtext. It was subplot. It was looking into the lives of each of these individuals and what was going on in their lives. And also, like I said in the last podcast when I reviewed this, really important that we saw all these different lives at the same time simultaneously. And I think that's what made it more interesting, because these women are kind of trapped in their own bedrooms, and it's when they're in their bedrooms that they can be themselves and they have a slight freedom. So yeah, I think that set was incredible, beautiful. So what was your favourite thing that you saw this year then, Darren?
I don't know if I have a favourite thing, but there were some good shows. I mean, there was really good stuff. I mean, what comes to mind, top of my head, is She Stoops to Conquer at the Orange Tree Theatre. I thought was a brilliant Christmas comedy. Great piece. It was in a previous podcast of ours, so if anyone wants to hear that, then please refer back to the website for that. Dear England, which we saw together, I really enjoyed that. I'm not a fan of football, but I thought it was really well done. Another show we saw together, obviously, Sunset Boulevard. But we didn't see it together, but separately, but we've seen the same show. Loved it. For a kind of a tour de force of performance between just two actors, Octopolis, which was at the Hampstead Theatre. Really enjoyed that. Le Cage at Regent's Park. Great musical. It was a brilliant piece. A Little Life. Loved the performances. just wasn't sure about the production. But my best interview of the year was with Lena Hall, a big fan of hers from Snowpiercer fame. And I sadly didn't get to see the show she's in because it was at Leeds and I didn't get around seeing it. But hopefully that will come to London, which was In Dreams, the Roy Orbison musical. But a good old chat with her. I could have talked with her for hours over a pot of tea. But what about you?
So, I mean, I think a lot of it is the stuff that I've seen recently. So Dear England, I went to see it twice. I took my son because I knew that I loved it so much. I'm repeating some of the things that you said. Octopolis, I loved. I think just that intimacy of being in that small studio theatre and so up close and personal and getting into those two actors. Witness for the Prosecution, always really enjoyed that. And I've seen it from every angle now. The effect that was at the National Theatre was absolutely incredible. And within the same week, I saw, in the words of Survivors, the Grenfell Tower piece, which blew me away and had me gripped emotionally. It just kept coming back. I was thinking about that for days and days after. Comedy, Wagatha Christie Trials, was hilarious. And I loved doing the interview backstage with the Wags and the Wigs. But Guys and Dolls, incredible. I can't even remember if I've seen that once this year or twice this year or whether I saw it the year before. But that was incredible as the Promenade experience. Obviously, Old Friends recently. I said that on the most recent podcast. Mrs. Doubtfire I saw twice within a fortnight. So thank you for the press tickets. Thank you for the school trip. For fun, we absolutely loved the cabaret with Bernie Dieter. We had a thoroughly fun night at Mamma Mia, the party, and at 40 Towers. They were just really fun, wonderful experiences that we had together. I think the show where we came out so excited was Six. That was a brilliant night. And I just interviewed the cast backstage. That was just a wonderful experience overall. Backstage interviewing Corey English on Back to the Future and taking my son to Hamilton on Broadway. We have had an incredible, incredible year.
Yeah, we have. And then just looking at some of our like more earlier podcasts of the year, Groundhog Day, we went back to the old Vic, really, really loved it. Yeah, I mean, Shirley Valentine, it was great to see Sheridan Smith back on stage and back on stage in real good, true form. And then this Standing by the Sky's Edge, which was at the National Theatre, which is transferring to the West End later on, early 2024. Again, there's been some terrific, terrific shows in 2023. And also, I just spotted on the website Sleeping Beauty, which was the Matthew Bourne show from last Christmas at the Sad as well. So, yeah, so I've seen another Matthew Bourne show. So, yeah, so starting with a Matthew Bourne show, closing with a Matthew Bourne show. How's that?
That is perfect. And I think there's nothing left to say then other than looking forward to new adventures in 2024.
Why not grab a ticket to one of the shows mentioned in this podcast? Tune in next time and recommend us to your friends and family.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast and on Twitter at Theatre Audie Pod. Until the next time, goodbye and thank you for listening.